think we look bad, you should see the other guy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. If you've tried to get a job, sell a house, or take out a loan lately, chances are you've experienced this country's economic troubles firsthand. But maybe we should count our blessings. Things are looking worse in Europe. Last quarter, the U.S. economy grew about 2%, which is about half as fast as it grew last year. But in Europe, economies are shrinking. A report out from the European Union this morning found growth in the 15 countries that make up the EU fell nearly a quarter of a percent between April and June. Germany, Europe's economic engine, slowed a half a percent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost around 1% yesterday as oil prices rose. But this morning, London's FTSE and Paris's CAC 40 are both up more than 1%. It seems those high commodity prices have people investing in oil and mining companies. And the dollar's looking strong again today, at its highest level against the pound in roughly 2 years. Fish and chips still won't come cheap, though. One British pound still costs about $1.97. And speaking of greenbacks, you need a lot of them to buy Olympic tickets. And even then, it's hard to find good seats. So people are getting creative, as Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Meet Rob Newman.
And I'm from Los Angeles, California, and my shirt says, "Good person, me, needs Olympic tickets. Talk to me."
As soon as he landed in Beijing, he started scoring in a way he's never done before. And Newman has been crashing the Olympics since 1972. He thinks it's a relative buyer's market here. Beijing's security restrictions may have scared off a lot of potential spectators. His biggest coup?
While I was there, this Dutch couple walked by and said, "I have a ticket for tonight's basketball game." I knew the black market for that was $2,000 to $3,000. It's like, "How much?" "Here's $100. I go, no, we only want $50. And then I buy the ticket and they go, "By the way, do you know who's playing the game tonight?" I'm like, yes, the U.S. and China. I mean, it was the hottest ticket of all.
Now Newman's the hot ticket. Local Chinese consider him a novelty and they swarm him.
"Do you have any tickets for me?" "Oh, you want to take a picture with me too?" Yes.
Newman roams the Olympic grounds, wheeling and dealing anything for good seats.
Tomorrow, though, I just offered to trade my home in Thailand on Craigslist, and I just got an email from somebody saying, "I've got finals for the swimming tomorrow." So it's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to do that.
In fact, his t-shirt marketing campaign's gone so well, he's now turning down offers.
"No, we don't need judo, you know." It's like, "Okay, wait, we don't need this. No, wait. I've got a tennis ticket in my pocket that I bought."
And on and on. In Beijing, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, online at kauffman.org.
The housing market continues to falter. A survey out this morning from RealtyTrack found foreclosures are up by more than 50% from last year. Seems like a pretty straightforward bear market, right? Well, as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports, tracking the real estate downturn is tricky and getting trickier.
RealtyTrack may be the most widely cited source of foreclosure data in the country. The company tries to capture every public foreclosure filing. Its numbers drive public policy debates and are quoted from the Wall Street Journal to CNBC. But many industry insiders question the company's figures. For years now, RealtyTrack has reported that Colorado has one of the higher foreclosure rates in the country. But
Colorado's not experiencing any general crashes in housing values.
Ryan McMakin at the state's Department of Housing says different states have different legal systems and generate different records. That makes an apples-to-apples comparison tough. And recently, legal changes in New York, California, and Massachusetts have made tallies there harder. The laws slow down foreclosure proceedings, but thousands of homeowners are still behind on their mortgage payments, even if they don't show up in this month's RealtyTrack. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
We've heard a lot about people struggling in the current housing market and having trouble making ends meet. But what about the moneyed masses? New York's Upper East Side was recently named the most privileged area in the U.S., but even there, concerns about the economy abound. We sent Philip Martin to Caviar Country to check it out.
Walking with Melissa Morris around her exclusive Carnegie Hills Upper East Side neighborhood, you would never know that the country is being hammered by a major economic crisis.
There's a lot of little fashion boutiques for women. There's a lot of upscale children's clothing boutiques. There are fancy sort of dog grooming salons.
28-year-old Morris, whose popular blog might best be described as the lifestyle of the rich and preppy, lives here with her multimillionaire husband Chappie and a miniature Italian greyhound named Monty. If the good life is predicated on opportunities and choices, then the Upper East Side of New York is a showcase of privilege.
The sidewalks are very clean. They're kept clean largely by the doormen, who will be out there sweeping if there's trash strewn about.
Jose Bermudez has been opening doors at Melissa's high-rise apartment building for over 15 years. He says it's no mystery why folks here don't seem nearly as stressed as New Yorkers just a few subway stops away in Spanish Harlem.
People are very relaxed and down to earth. I guess it's the lifestyle.
But Melissa says she's starting to see that the economic downturn is chipping away at that lifestyle. On our walking tour, she points to some local businesses that have gone under.
This one just recently closed. It was a clothing store, and I guess it's becoming a different clothing store. But it's becoming a chain now, and it was an individually owned boutique.
There's another for lease sign across the street. Recent headlines suggest why. Massive layoffs in the financial services industry and the end of some million-dollar bonuses. The result, according to the research firm Unity Marketing, was a 20% decline in spending on luxury goods in this year's second quarter. Because even here on the Upper East Side, not everyone needs a $6,000 dress. From New York, I'm Philip Martin for Marketplace.
A chain store? How bourgeois. It's good to know we're all suffering together. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, wishing you champagne kisses and caviar dreams.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.